Well, I would appreciate your prayers this morning. The Lord would visit each one of us. I'm thankful that He does that along our walk of life. He knows where each of us stands in life. And as was mentioned in the prayer, the Lord knows how to customize something for each one of us. And so we depend upon the work of the Holy Spirit to bless His word this morning. Like to consider, as I've written on the board, the munition of rocks. I'd like to begin in Isaiah, the 33rd chapter, where we find this. Isaiah chapter 33. Ask a question, beginning in the 14th verse. It says, "The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him, his waters shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off." I want to be part of this number that dwells on high, part of this number that turns away from the wickedness of this world, that is willing to stop my ears from the things this world cries, shut my eyes to the things it presents before me, because I've got something better. Because the Lord has a place for me to dwell and to live that's not down in the miry clay, but He's got a place for us that is on high, that is lifted up on the mountaintop, that the Lord wants us to abide in. And He said here that His place of defense shall be the munition of rocks. That's our defense, is a place of rocks. And I want us to consider this morning the significance of that and what that means to us in our lives. And I'd like to illustrate that further. I'd like to turn to the book of Proverbs, the 30th chapter. Proverbs 30, beginning in the 24th verse, says, "There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer." Well, Scripture talks about that. Even apart from this, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard." He's got a lesson to teach you that you can apply in your own lives. That's not my burden this morning, but I do want to look at this next creature. It says that the conies are but a feeble folk, yet they make their houses in the rocks. You know, whenever we look out at creation and nature that God made and the animals that God made, isn't it marvelous? It really is to me that the Lord didn't just take a cookie cutter approach to every kind of animal. What diversity God created in the world. You know, there are some animals that... there are a lot of animals. When you think about the pyramid or the ladder of the food chain, there are a lot of creatures that are down at the bottom of that chain that have a lot of predators over them. They're not aggressors. They're not the predators. They are the prey. And they have to rely upon a defense mechanism of one kind or another to be able to survive. They're not going to fight against a lion and win, or any other kind of predator. That's not how God created them to be able to survive. You know, the Lord's not created us to be able to survive on our own. What is our defense? Well, we think about these animals. You know, there are some animals that God created with plating, with armor, so to speak. You think about the armadillo that'll curl up in a ball whenever he's threatened. He's got a defense mechanism. The Lord created something to be able to protect him. And his defense is, I'm not going to keep my head out. I'm not going to try to tear up whatever's coming at me. That's not going to be my first reaction. I'm going to roll up into my defense mode. There are some animals that God has given quills. That if you come after me, your nose is going to be hurting. Well, it's not their teeth. It's not their ability to attack and be the aggressor. But there's something that God has given them for their defense. There are some things whose hope is not in fighting, but is in how fast they can run. Being able to get out of that place as quickly as they can. There are some, and I think you know probably one that'll come quickly to mind, whose defense mechanism is their smell. And it's pretty effective. There are some whose defense mechanism is camouflage. The ability to blend into their surroundings so that they go undetected by their predators. There are some who rely upon, if you could think of it this way, deception for their defense. I think of the peacock. You know that peacock is not an aggressive animal at all. Pretty defenseless and helpless. But the way God created that bird to spread its feathers out and it looks like it has big eyes and he shakes his tail and something that could just with a few bites end that thing's life will tend to be frightened away. It's a defense mechanism. I go back to, folks, we are helpless before the devourer. Before the enemy of our souls, in our own strength, in our own ability, we are helpless. But the Lord knows that. He knows our frame that we're but dust. And the Lord has not left us defenseless. Now let's talk about the conies for a moment. You know what a coney is? It's not something to eat. I guess you could eat them. But a coney is similar in ways to a rabbit. It's also called, if you look into the animals that they would have been familiar with, what's called a rock badger. Kind of reminds me from the research that I've done of a prairie dog. If you've ever seen prairie dogs, there'll be a colony or whatever of them, and they'll be scampering around and playing and gathering their food or whatever it is that prairie dogs do. And you might see one of them on a little bit of rise. His head is up towards the sky, watching. And he might give one shrill little whistle, and all of a sudden you'll see all the prairie dogs disappear. There's a threat. There's a danger. Don't stay up above ground. You go to the place of your munition or your defense. And that's underground. You go get out of sight, out of the reach of the falcon or the hawk or the eagle that may be soaring overhead, about to make you its lunch. Scatter. Head underground. Folks, the Lord is our defense. He is our rock. And these conies are creatures that live in the rocks. It's where their home is. It's where they're most comfortable. They live in the rocky areas and they, for their defense, run under the shelter of the rock whenever there's danger. They don't rely on their ability to outrun, outwit, outfight. They just run to their shelter when they're in trouble. And it talks about this coney. Though it's a feeble creature, not much to look at. Not much might and power. Not one of those magnificent animals of the prairie or the forest that you just stand in awe of. It's just a feeble animal. And yet, he makes his munition in the rocks. He makes his home in the rocks and finds their protection. Psalms 104 tells us similarly of the coney. 104 and 18, the high hills are a refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks for the conies. Folks, we need a shelter. We need a protection. We need a defense in our lives. And what is that? Is it our ability to outrun, outwit, outfight in our strength? Folks, we got to run to the rock of our salvation. Let's look at a few other scriptures here in Psalms, the 18th chapter. Think about what our munition is. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Psalms 18. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. We don't have to rely on our own strength. When the enemy comes against us, when life gets overwhelming, let's see what David said in the 61st Psalm. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, Lord, lead me to the rock that's higher than I, that's stronger than I am, because that is my defense, that is my hope. It's not for me to just squint and understand the balance of this. We have to fight and to be willing to do battle and to be strong and to stand firm. But our strength is in the Lord. Our victory is in Him. Let's not be afraid and ashamed to just run to the rock. To run for my life unto the rock. Not in fear and timidity, but I'm running to the Lord. Lord, You're my hope. You're my salvation. When our hearts are overwhelmed, let this be the cry on our hearts. There's so many places we could turn and run to. But may our hearts cry out unto God, Lord, You're the rock. Lead me to that place that's higher than I. The 62nd chapter says in the 5th verse, my soul, wait thou only upon God. For my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him sometimes. Trust in Him. That's why you read along. Trust in Him at all times. Ye people, pour out your hearts before Him. For God is a refuge for us. Aren't you thankful we can trust in the Lord at all times? There's not a predator spiritually that comes along that the Lord is not able to defend us against and keep us from. There is not a situation we can get into that this is not the answer. Run to the rock. Cry out unto the rock. This coney doesn't, this rock badger, whatever you might call him, he doesn't create his own defense. He doesn't build his own defense. He relies on what God's provided for him. In the rocks. We in our lives too can lean upon the rock that He's provided. It's not going to be of our own creation, of our own doings. But I want to think about how the enemy might try to get us as people to create our own defenses. We've started here thinking about the rock. About the coney and what the coney does for his defense. You know, it's easy for us to try to create our own defenses, to try to defend ourselves, to try to rely on our own intellect, wisdom. What does the scripture say in Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, about that? Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." What I believe the Lord wants to encourage us to this morning is that it's so ready on our lips to cry out unto the rock. It's not a last resort. It's not something we maybe remember when everything else has failed. You know, praying, we had some discussion about this morning before we left home. Folks, praying and crying unto our rock is about more than opening a prayer book and finding an appropriate prayer somewhere and reading that prayer to the Lord. Folks, this should be as natural as breathing to us. We just live in a communion with the Lord that no matter how little, no matter how big, I just cry out to the Lord. Lord, I need your help. Lord, would you help me find my keys? Does he care about that? Run to the rock. Whenever we have trouble, run to the rock. But our own defenses that we are not to lean unto. I want to go to the 18th chapter of Proverbs. Read us the 19th verse here. Proverbs 18 and verse 19. "A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. And their contentions are like the bars of a castle." We heard in our little revival here recently about offense. The bars of a castle. You know, whenever we're hurt by life, and we're hurt by people, you know, it's very natural for us to try to build our own defenses. Yes. This isn't going to happen again. That hurt. I'm not going to let this happen again. I can't make myself vulnerable again. I can't allow them to get close to me anymore. I can't allow myself to go into that kind of situation. You know, sometimes love hurts. What's the alternative? Well, I'll never love, so I'll never be hurt. You know, that's not the place the Lord has for us to live. The Lord has a place for us where our munition is of the Lord. Yes, thank the Lord. Where our defense is not in what I can do to protect myself, but in what the Lord can do to protect me. These bars of a castle. This says it's contentions. Oh, how the enemy will try to work in our minds, in our thoughts. And those things that maybe at once started out like the thread of a spider web, the thread of that thought of what's been done and what's been said. And the enemy brings that before me and he works with it. And the more I think about it and the more I dwell on it, the thicker that thing gets until it becomes like the bars of a castle. And you know what it is about the bars of a castle, though? To someone who is offended, it feels like protection. It feels like I'm in a safe place. I'm protected. But you know, looking from the outside in, someone else can realize you're in prison is where you are. And folks, the Lord has something better for us than prison. Our defense isn't supposed to be that we're locked away in a barred cell somewhere, where nobody can get to me and nobody can touch me and nobody can harm me. I'm safe here. Yes, but you're also in bondage. And the Lord has a place for us that I don't have to build bars around myself. I don't have to build walls and barriers. And I understand that there's distance we put from the world, but we need to be able to see where our warfare is. It's not against flesh and blood, but it is against the enemy of our soul. It's not against that person. It's against the enemy of my soul. It's not about what they said or what they did. It's about what the enemy is trying to do in my heart and in my life. And I've got to do warfare against that. Lord, help me to see where my battle and my warfare really is. And my protection. Folks, you can't keep the devil out by bars of a castle. The devil builds bars of a castle. So we're defending ourselves if we do that against the wrong adversary. And it's easy for any of us to do. You know, we learn defense mechanisms. You know, even a little child. Well, I'll use a light, maybe a lighter hearted example. What does a child, or maybe anybody, do if you tickle them? They tend to go into the fetal position. That is what feels, it's what a child knows from the earliest moments of its life inside the protected womb of its mother is the fetal position. And I tend to just curl back up and resort into that position when I'm threatened. You know, there are things that can become very natural to us. That whenever something happens in life, I've learned from a young age how to defend myself, how to protect myself from what I perceive could hurt me. Well, what is it that I'm talking about? I'll give a few examples. We heard also in the meeting about a turtle. You know, we can play the turtle trick. Where I pull my feet in and I pull my head in and I close my shell down and I don't see the light of day and you're not going to see or hear from me and I'm going to isolate myself from any possibility of being hurt. Folks, our munition is not in a shell that we build around ourselves. That's not our munition in marriages, family relationships, congregational, maybe tensions or things with other people in whatever place that might fall. It's not for me to just build my own defensive shell around myself that I draw up inside whenever I feel threatened. Our defense mechanism that we've learned could be humor and sarcasm. I've seen people that have been deeply hurt in their lives. And they learn how to deflect through humor. Well, what am I saying? Humor's wrong. I think the Lord gave us humor. But I've seen how we can retreat, and hide behind almost a facade. Hide behind a behavior and it's really just a shell. You know, my defense that I build around myself can be an aggression. It can be criticism. Whenever I feel threatened, I start criticizing. I'll criticize you, I'll criticize others, and that's just my defensive mode. It's what I've learned. It's not that I'm sitting and thinking through, it's just almost instinctive what I've learned to protect myself. It feels like protection, but it may be like the bars of a prison. That the very thing I try to create for myself to protect me from being hurt is the very thing that's keeping me bound. You know, the conies, from what I've been able to find in research, they're not a creature that just hides in the darkness and doesn't come out. You know, I've seen little videos of them scampering around, and it looks like, to me at least, they're playing. They go out in the morning and just bask in the sunlight. You know, there's something for us, I believe. We get up in the mornings to bask in the sunlight of God. We don't make, and I believe we may touch on a scripture, that we don't make darkness our refuge. Folks, we can come out and just bask in the love of God. This place the Lord has us for us to live in, it's not so tucked away and restricted and bound up that I can't even enjoy life. That's not, to me, what the life of a Christian is. Folks, the Lord has a place that I can be free in the Lord, free in my spirit, that I can be able to enjoy the life that the Lord has given me. But you know what those conies are also doing? Oh, they're scampering about and they're enjoying it. But from what I've read, there's also one like the prairie dog that's scanning. And when there's danger, he issues a call and they run for the rocks. Folks, the Lord has put watchmen upon the wall to cry out for our souls. There's danger ahead. The enemy's trying to work here. The enemy's trying to gain a foothold and an inroad. And the Lord wants us to be able to see in our lives where the enemy's trying to gain entrance. And we need to run to the rock, Christ Jesus, and take our refuge and our shelter in Him. Isaiah, the 28th chapter, thinking of what people make their refuge, their munition. 28 and 15. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death. With hell we are at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge. And under falsehood have we hid ourselves. What do you think? Is that a good refuge? Is that a strong munition to hide in? Oh, how the enemy of our souls has offered to countless millions of souls the defense of lies, the defense of false religion, the false protection and promise of protection that comes in false doctrine, of so many different flavors and types that creates a defense for me that I'm okay. I'm all right where I am. I feel protected where I am. I feel comfortable where I'm at. But if our munition, if our defense, if our security is only in lies, it's not going to stand. That refuge of lies will be swept away. Our refuge is not in darkness. Talking to an officer, telling about situations here in town that he's dealt with. He said, you go into some of these places, you'd look at the outside of the house and just be sure it's abandoned. And you go in to answer a call and you find out there's people living in there. You'll see people coming out of their rooms that you'll be sure have never seen the light of day. You're talking about how it's just almost scary. You wouldn't hardly believe. Folks, our defense, the place we live, is not in darkness. Let's read what Romans says in the 13th chapter. Romans 13, verse 12. It says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. What have we been talking about? Our munition. It's not found in darkness. It's not found in the security of being able to cover my tracks well enough. Right. Think about what I'm saying. The security of, well, I've found a way to cover all my tracks. I found a way. Nobody's going to find out. I found a way to shield myself that I'll never be in danger of trouble from this. Oh, but the all-seeing eye of God. Folks, there's no shield against that. The darkness doesn't hide us from Him. His all-searching eye sees right through it all. Let us cast away. Let's not make our protection that we hide behind a vain hope that nobody will see, that nobody will find out, that the saints won't know. Oh, folks, that's a shaky munition. But let us instead put on the armor of light. Oh, when we're walking in the light and living in the light, folks, it is a defense. We don't have to live in such a place that the doctrines I believe and the things that I would justify about my life and what I'm doing that, well, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to hear. I don't need to hear anything about it. I want to believe what I want to believe. No, let's embrace the light. It is an armor for us. Our defense is not to be the darkness and the shadows of Satan's lies and deception. The scripture says in Proverbs, the 18th chapter, it talks about another defense that people resort to. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 11. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and as a high wall in his own conceit. That's his defense. Well, money will buy a way out of anything, won't it? Buy happiness if I need it? Will it? Buy health if I need it from the finest of doctors? Will it always? Extend my life? Can it? Folks, that's a shaky munition. But the verse before this said, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are what? We're safe. There is a refuge in the munition of rocks. In calling upon the name of the Lord and time and time and time again. This isn't just when we get saved. It's when I get in trouble. It's when I'm afraid. It's when I'm sad. It's when I feel the weight of depression trying to close in. Whenever I feel temptation come in my way. And fill in the blanks. Call upon the name of the Lord. He is our defense. He is our munition. And in that rock, there is safety. There is protection. Again, it's not in running. It's not in running from our own problems. It's not in always just trying to close my eye and run the other way. There's trouble over here. I'm going to run away from it and not deal with it. There's trouble over here. I'm going to run away and not deal with it. And instead, all I'll leave behind is a trail littered with problems. That's not the answer. That's not our defense. The Lord has a place that we can run to in Him and be able to find refuge. I want to look now at Psalms, the 95th chapter. Psalms 95 and 1. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. I want to go back to that thought of the conies. Folks, in the place of the rocks is not a prison for us. It's not an uninhabitable place. Let us rejoice. Let us sing. Let us make a joyful noise under the rock of our salvation. Oh, thank the Lord for protection. Thank the Lord for His security and for His safety and for the confidence that I find in Him. Folks, we can lay out, you can use this crude analogy, we can lay and sprawl out in the sunshine and just bask in the glory of God and in His love in our lives. We don't have to be curled up in the fetal position, even though we have to defend ourselves against the enemy. And I don't, again, understand the balance of all this. That I don't have to go run and hide in the corner in the darkness and cover my head like I'm in one of those air raid drills. I don't have to live my life in that place. I don't have to live my life in fear. Because my munition is in the rocks. Now, I can't just go and say then, I don't have a care in the world. No. And take heed, he that thinks he stands, lest he falls. You know, this coney doesn't go running out into the prairie somewhere that's outside of his home because he has no protection there. He doesn't go swimming out into the river, so he doesn't have protection in that way. That's different animals. That's not his protection. His protection's in the rocks. And folks, we can't afford to stray too far from the rock of our salvation. We can't stray from that place of security when in a moment's notice, when temptation strikes, that's not the time to say, oh my goodness, where is the rock? Oh, it's way over there. I don't even have time to get to it. But to be in a place, in a relationship, in an abiding in the Lord, that I can just cry out to Him with a prayer on my lips, cry out into the rock of my salvation. Oh, we can feel right at home in these rocks. And we too can scamper around joyfully, rejoicing in our salvation. Let's look at Deuteronomy, the 33rd chapter. Deuteronomy 33 and 27th verse. Let's start with 26. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. What a blessing. The eternal God is thy refuge. I don't have to worry about my ability to defend myself. But Lord, they're saying this about me. Lord, I gotta let him know. I gotta let everyone else know. I gotta call and criticize. I gotta call and point out all their... The everlasting God is our defense. He is our refuge. Run under the safety of this rock. Today, what do you make your refuge? What is your munition? Are the places, are the tendencies, are there behaviors that maybe we've learned from childhood that this is my protection? Talked about a young brother that testified about his struggle with depression. He said he had learned that it was what he resorted to. It's what felt like home to him. He was so accustomed to it. It's where he felt most comfortable. But the Lord taught him, that's not your defense. That's not your home. I've got a home up in the rocks for each one of us. Whatever it is that we might be tempted to make our defense in our own minds or behavior or lives, or the things that we turn to, talking to a man right down the street here recently, sharing his struggle with alcohol and other addictions, and how hard life was, and he said sometimes, just, I've got to have my drink. I said, no, you got to have Jesus. He's your substance. He wants to be when you're hurting. When you don't have a friend, He wants to be your substance. He wants to be the one that you turn to. Whenever you feel a void, an emptiness, a craving for something, run to the rock. And in Him we'll find that there's honey in that rock. There's something to sustain us and keep us and rejoice our souls. Our defense is not off in the prairie. Our defense is in the munition of rocks. And in Nahum we read, he that dasheth in pieces has come up before thy face. Watch the way. Keep the munition. And that's the exhortation that I want to leave us with this morning. Keep the munition of rocks. That strong place that we have in the Lord, that we can call upon the Lord night or day in a moment's notice, whenever we start to feel temptation, We can call upon the Lord. It doesn't have to be an afterthought. It doesn't have to be something when I'm already too far away from the rock. But there is a place that is a refuge and a shelter and a safety for our souls that we can securely dwell. My people, he said, shall live in, what do you say, secure dwelling places, quiet habitation. Oh, thank the Lord that he has that place for us, that we don't have to live under the fear and the dread of the devourer of our souls, that we're aware, we're watching. Oh, they said that these conies, as they're scampering about and basking in the sun and all of that, and yet still with an eye to the sky. They said that sometimes those eagles or the hawks will fly where the sun is at their back and swoop down. You ever try looking up towards the sun? How much can you see as you're looking up at the sun? You know, the enemy himself will disguise himself as an angel of light. Watch the way. The Lord created those conies with special kind of eyelids somehow that they said they can look up directly at the sun and they can see what's coming at them. Lord, help us to watch the way. That it's not a paralyzing paranoia that all I can do is worry about what's going to happen. No, there's a safety in the rock that I can enjoy my life and rejoice in my salvation and live freely in my spirit. And yet, my shelter, I'm anchored to. I'm right there on the rock of my salvation. It's where I live. It's not just where I come on Wednesdays and Sundays. Salvation is so much more than religion. It is my constant dwelling place. Praying's not something I do whenever Easter and Christmas rolls around or a special occasion I pull out a prayer book. It's something that is like a breath on my lips because I live there. And I can call out upon the rock of my salvation. May God bless and encourage each one of us. You pray for me. Amen.